The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for Brad Sessmatt right here on the Brad Sessmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ. Thanks so much for joining us. We have a lot to get to. Brandon Huffman, 24/7 Sports, recruiting editor, does a tremendous job. He is the best in the business. If you follow recruiting, he is. Brad called Jason Jewell the godfather of Arizona high school football recruiting. Brandon Huffman is the national guy. He is the premier voice in college football recruiting and evaluating. Also a tremendous person. But he jumps on with us. He will be on the Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona this week. We break down this class here in Arizona, a couple classes ahead as well. Also talk a little ASU and U of A, how they're doing on the recruiting fronts as well. So Pac-12 fans, definitely tune in. If you are a high school football fan, make sure to check that out as well. He's coming up. And then Brandon McGee, former ASU linebacker, former ASU outfielder, played in the NFL. Now he's in Hollywood. He's an executive producer for a Netflix film called Red Zone, and it tells his family's story. His best friend, Dominic Redd, was murdered at the age of 15. His mother went on to bring in 17 of Brandon's friends all under one roof and supported them to make sure that they were taken care of, and every single one of them went to college. Four of them went on to play in the NFL. They are making a movie about that now, starring Jada Pinkett Smith. There are some heavy hitters involved, and Brandon went from a premier ASU athlete and NFL linebacker now to a mover and shaker in Hollywood. He's dealing with the heavy hitters. I got to catch up with him a few weeks ago. That will also be on Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ as well. You're going to want to see this. It's very it's an emotional interview. By the end of it, you're ready to run through a wall, because you are so motivated by Brandon. This guy is just a ball of energy, and it's no different than when he was a player. So really cool to get to catch up with him. We covered him, obviously, very closely when he was with the Sun Devils, and he's the same guy. But he is just making moves, and he is continuing to bring that tenacity. So very, very cool. A lot going on in the sports world. Let's get to our rundown that's brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support, as always, whether it's with the stream show, TV show, everything that they're doing. I mentioned yesterday they were helping out Kristen Muir as well. They are very, very good partners. So if you like what we're all about, make sure to support all of our partners that work with us. You know the usual names, so make sure to support them. So NFL free agency, day one, the legal tampering period has started yesterday, and a lot of news coming out, a lot of New England Patriots news, a lot of Tampa Bay news. There are some big moves happening. Cardinals, I would say so far, relatively quiet. They have a little bit of money to spend. They don't have a ton to work with, but they do have some. They are certainly not cash strapped. But the big moves that they made yesterday, re-signing a couple players, throwing out some tenders to players. Marcus Golden re-signed for a 2-year deal. Reports that Andy Lee is going to sign a 1-year deal. Dennis Gardick seems to be coming back. They put a second round tender on him. So that's kind of the news with the Cardinals so far. Pretty quiet. Patrick Peterson, we haven't heard anything. Larry Fitzgerald's future, we haven't heard anything. We've heard a lot going into this that Juju Smith-Schuster could be a really good fit at wide receiver. He is the number one receiver that was over with Pittsburgh. I think if the Cardinals were able to add him for the right price, that'd be a great addition, because he is I think a good number one wide receiver. He's a really good number two wide receiver. And who knows what shakes out here with Fitz, Peterson, all of that. Other news, Matt Prater, the kicker, has been linked to the Cardinals. We don't know anything official with that yet, or any hard reports other than there's been some interest. So still a lot going on, a lot of the roster construction for the Cardinals right now. They did miss out on two targets that we had heard they were linked to. Corey Lindsey, the best center on the market. The Cardinals have been looking to upgrade their offensive line, especially I think on the interior, especially at center, looking to maybe get an upgrade from Mason Cole. I think he's a really good versatile piece you can use, but we've seen the ebbs and flows that he's had as a center. Corey Lindsey was far and away the best one available. He was with Green Bay. He signs with the Chargers for making him the highest paid center in the league, so averaging about $13 million a year. So quite a heavy price tag for him. And then Hunter Henry, the tight end who was at the Chargers, signs with the Patriots. And the Patriots, as we said, had a lot of moves. Also signed Jonnu Smith, another high-flying tight end. And if you know anything about a team that can utilize two tight ends at once, that is the New England Patriots. When you think back to the Gronk, Aaron Hernandez days, you know, quite a while ago. But they have continued to make moves. Matthew Judon has signed with them. You know, and some of these have been good. Some of these have been not so good. Nelson Aguilar has been added. Corey Davis to the Jets. Carl Lawson to the Jets as well. But a lot of moves have been happening. Ryan Fitzpatrick, another notable one, going from Miami to Washington. I think that move makes a lot of sense, especially for the price. 1 year, $10 million. That's a pretty, that's a, I think, for a starting caliber quarterback, that's kind of a drop in the bucket. So I'm sure they'll still look for the draft, but he is joining his ninth team, the former Highland Hawk. Fitzmagic, we did all the memes back when it was happening on AZ Audibles, but Fitzmagic head into the Washington football team. So that's what's going on early on in NFL. I think a lot of the early signings have been pass rushers. Hassan Reddick has not been signed yet. We'll see if maybe as the market changes, maybe there's a potential that he comes back on a one-year deal. Who knows? From what I've been reading, from what I've been watching, it seems like the wide receivers are going to start to move a little bit. We've seen a couple sign. Corey Davis signed, as I mentioned, Nelson Aguilar. But there's still some really good ones out there. So we'll see kind of what goes on with that. Bracket reveal on Sunday for the men, on Monday for the women. Women's college basketball, the March Madness for the national championship. Arizona gets in for the first time in 16 years. The job Adia Barnes has done is pretty incredible, and she's brought in some incredible talent. Ari McDonald leading the conference in scoring and steals for the second straight season. Pretty darn impressive. They will take on number 14 Stony Brook on Monday. They are in the same region as Texas A&M and NC State, so a tough road for them. A&M, I have read, is the, even being a two seed, the number three overall seed, according to ESPN, in terms of ranking all the teams and everything like that. So very exciting news for the U of A women's basketball team. I think it's only the beginning for what Adia Barnes is building there, but they get in, going to be a tough road ahead, but we've seen that before, and number one overall seed, Stanford. So it seems to always seemingly go through Stanford whenever there's a really, really good team here in Arizona, whether it's Arizona State or Arizona. ASU also makes the women's NIT, a really young team, so they'll get some postseason action, some experience, which will be good for them, but they are not in the tournament but headed to the NIT. Suns win last night again, another really good win where they it seemed like they were kind of hanging with Memphis for a while, and then all of a sudden they just shut the door, and it was a 122-99 win, and it was just, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of you know, in the third quarter you walk away for a second, come back, all of a sudden they're up 10 when it was a tie ball game. So Devin Booker with 27, Chris Paul with 18, Cameron Payne 13, DeAndre Ayton 15 and 9. This is kind of the, now let's fine tune what's going on. The rotations, the depth has been there, certainly. They've been playing really, really well. And it's, you know, when you look at these second and third quarters where they're outscoring Memphis 36-27 and then 36-25, that's the difference in the game. They're able to turn it on, kind of put the, put their foot down and really take care of business. So the trade deadline is approaching. We will see if they make any moves, if they add. I would think power forward would be an area that they would like to improve, maybe add some depth to. I think Jay Crowder's been really, really good, but he's kind of bounced around positionally. Frank Kaminsky has been nice in spots, but I think if there's one area where they could use a little bit extra, it could be the power forward position. So a lot to get to here the rest of the way. You're going to hear coming up next, we have Brandon Huffman talking all things recruiting, both in-state, ASU, and U of A as well, and the kind of bigger picture of where the Pac-12's at. So make sure to keep it right here. Right after that, we'll also have Brandon McGee talking about his project Red Zone, and I guarantee you're going to want to see this. Again, you're going to get a little bit emotional. It's a heartfelt story. You can tell how much it means to him, but you're going to be ready to take on the day. I will enjoy seeing what everybody does with that newfound energy and motivation moving on throughout the rest of the day. But keep it right here on the Brad Sussmat Show. Have a lot of good stuff here in store for you today. And now it's time for the recruiting roundup, and we have the best in the business, Brandon Huffman of 24/7 Sports. Wanted to break down the class of Arizona, not just for 2022, but beyond. Also probably talk a little ASU and U of A as well. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Jordan. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So class of 2022 for Arizona, I think across the country, we've seen a lot of guys start to speed up this process and commit early. We're starting to see that with the Keon Grays, the Nico Marchios, the Devin Browns, a lot of people starting to really speed things up. Overall, just what jumps out to you about this 2022 class and how it might stack up to past classes here in Arizona?
Well, I wouldn't say it's at the 2020 or 2021 levels yet, but that's early. You know, remember the 2021 guys really started to emerge as their senior season played. Ty Thompson started his meteoric rise. The 2020 class, that was one of those classes for the ages with the Bijan Robinsons, the Keely Ringos, the Lathan Ransoms, guys that we have been knowing about for several years. But I think this class has a chance to, you know, approach, if not surpass, the 2021 class. It's already off to a start in that five of the top 15 players in the state have already made their decision. And in what's been kind of a telltale sign for the state for the last couple of years, not many of them are staying in state. Right now, only one guy is committed to play in state, and that's Grayson Stovall from Hamilton High School in Chandler, out of the top 15 players, but you got guys heading national. And that's a trend that we've been seeing. You know, I've talked about this with you a lot, in that Arizona has become such a big place for top recruits that it's not just the Pac-12 programs that want to recruit it, it's the national program. So you've got Ohio State once again coming into Arizona to get Keon Graves. You got Nico going to Florida State. So you've got national programs that continue to find all of this talent in the state of Arizona. And Arizona's been that one state out west that has historically had a lot of players be willing to leave, but it always seemed like those guys stayed in the Pac-12 footprint. Now they're heading further and further east each and every year, and I think that that's a trend that's going to continue to happen, but it's also something that Herm Edwards and Jed Fish, now that he's at Arizona, are going to have to, at some point, figure out a way to stop, because if you can't keep that in-state talent at home, that's going to continue to draw the eyebrows and raise the eyebrows of your fans who want those local kids to stay home.
With sitting atop your rankings right now, Anthony Lucas, we both got to see him early on in his career at the All-American Combine a couple of years ago. He has been a known name here in Arizona and has continued to develop. Just what has jumped out to you watching his progression the past couple of years?
I got to say, it's for a guy his size to move as well as he does. I think he lines up at what, tight end, running back, receiver at times. I mean, what number does he wear out there? Because whatever number it is, it's not necessarily a defensive lineman number. I think he's, you know, a guy that his size kind of even doesn't tell the story. We have him listed as 6'5", 280, but he moves like he's 220, 230. He's an athletic guy. So now put him inside as an offensive or as a defensive lineman, where he's got that size to get a push on interior offensive lineman, but then he's got that quick first step that gets him past the lineman. So if you don't get a jump on him and get that block early, that play is going to end with you in the backfield looking at him as he's taking your quarterback or running back down. So I think he's just got that unique combination of size and athleticism. He's a player that we obviously loved as the junior, especially. He made our all-combine team as a sophomore at the All-American Combine, ultimately earned an invitation to the All-American Bowl, but he had one of the biggest jumps of anybody in the country that played football this fall. He moved up almost 70 spots from number 95 to number 26 overall and the number 3 defensive tackle in the country. So that should show you what kind of, you know, I guess the biggest word is what kind of a talent level that we're looking at, but a guy who I still think might be playing his best football in 2-3 years from now. Mm-hmm.
Brophy has put out talent over the years, but it seems like when you look back, Devin Allen, Tyler Brugman, Isaiah Oliver, Connor Murphy, it's usually they have one or two really big stars on that team. With Jason Jewell this year, they have quite a few guys, Zach Swanson, Ben Morrison, Tyler Powell, EJ Warner as well. You're seeing his recruitment pick up. Is in terms of the talent and the recruiting attention, is this kind of the highest we've seen from that for the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go back several years till you saw that many players at Brophy Prep all in one class. And in fact, I'd have to ask their head coach because he was covering recruiting back the last time Brophy had those guys. But what's also significant about him is that it's not that those are three recruits that are being recruited. They're all being recruited by the big boys. You know, when Ben Morrison names his top 10, and then after he names his top 10, Alabama gets involved. When Zach Swanson names his top 3, and you're excluding schools that have been competing for national championships. When Tyler Powell, who's still relatively new to tight end and a guy that I think is still developing, when he's got a number of Pac-12 offers to choose from. And now you got EJ Warner, who might be the son of the most classic case of, hey, he was better than maybe where he went to college. Let's not make the same mistake a second time. That shows you that there's some guys there at Brophy Prep that a lot of national programs are really intrigued by. I think that's a testament to obviously Jason Jewell's coaching and development, but also Jason's, you know, recognition of, hey, if you've got elite players, you know, let's put them in positions to succeed so that the recruitment can take off. And so you look at each of those guys and you've got an elite cover corner in Ben Morrison. You got an elite pass rusher in Zach Swanson. You got a developing tight end in Tyler Powell and a developing quarterback in EJ Warner. That's what you want. You want guys that have not only the ability to be elite instant impact guys, but you wouldn't mind some of those developmental guys as well. So that's what makes coaches want to keep going back each and every year. Okay, who's the next batch that you got? We both got to see Ben Morrison. He didn't play, but we saw him when he was at the Red Zone 7-on-7 tournament and just seeing him. You see that length. You see, you know, the athleticism he has. I think he's, what, one of 4 kids in his family that's a Division I athlete along with his father having played at Arizona. And he's still pretty skinny. So as he gets bigger with the skill set he has, I think he could end up being one of the premier corners, not just on the West Coast, but nationally.
Let's look ahead to the future now. 2023 here in Arizona, 2024. You have a Basha youth movement with some exciting players in 2023. Seems like a lot of pass catchers that have a lot of offers coming their way. When you look at, you know, Deuce Robinson, Jackson Bowers, Kyler Casper, Derek English, Jacoby Lane. I can go on and on. But just what is your kind of first impressions early on of these guys? I know you were able to see them at Sevens a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and let's not forget Matt Klopfenstein either, who just got, I think, his first Big Ten offer this week. You know, we've been saying for about a year now, I can't say it's been a couple of years, but it's been at least a year, that the 2023 tight end class on the West Coast is going to be one of the best classes that I've ever seen at the position. And Arizona's kind of ground zero for probably the best overall big athlete in the entire country, if at least not the West Coast, and Deuce Robinson, who we've got listed as a tight end, but then you also throw in, you know, Klopfenstein and Jackson Bowers. So we got to see at the Red Zone tournament. That was Bowers' kind of coming out party. He was phenomenal that weekend. Klopfenstein, the same thing at that tournament and then at Pylon. Then you throw in Derek English and Kyler Casper. Larry Angulo and I were having that discussion this week. Which one do we like more? You know, Casper's got the speed. He's got the length. Derek English has got the physicality. They're both tremendous pass catchers, both natural pass catchers. One's a little bit more speed and explosive. The other one's more physical and big, but both can run, both can separate. So between those three guys at the tight end position and Robinson, Bowers, and Klopfenstein, and then English and Kyler Casper, you've got some great pass catchers. Yet right now, the highest rated player in the state is a cornerback in Cole Martin. So the best. His dad is a longtime Pac-12 football coach. A guy by the name of Demetrius Martin is the DB coach at Arizona. I remember him telling me when he was at Washington, the best pass defense is a pass rush. Well, if your pass rush isn't getting there, you need a good defensive back. So bring on Cole Martin to shut those five guys down if he can. He's one of those players that I think he's one of the elite premier cover corners already in his class. We talked about Ben Morrison potentially being that. Cole Martin already is that. And so in a year where the state of Arizona has a bunch of tremendous pass catchers, kind of ironic that the best player in the state, at least right now, is a cover corner.
And the ironic thing is, sounds like Cole will also be playing some wide receiver this year as well. So could even add to that repertoire that he has. Let's shift over to the Pac-12 now. ASU, U of A, ASU, both classes early in their in their cycles right now, but ASU, two early four stars that they were able to add, Larry Turner Gooden and Jalen Marshall. The impact that they've been able to have, get those elite guys early. Typically, it seems like they're adding the big talent towards the end of the cycle. How important is it to add those big guys early and start to build off of that?
Oh, it's huge. And Larry Turner Gooden especially is huge, not just because he's an elite player nationally, but he is so connected to so many elite players, whether it was playing for Pro Way 7-on-7 or now for Ground Zero 7-on-7, who's coached by Armon Hawkins, whose son Chris Hawkins is the defensive backs coach at Arizona State. Larry Turner Gooden had his choice of offers from all over the country. 35 offers, the schools like Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, you name it, all the Pac-12 schools, they wanted him. And Arizona State got him. And somewhat of a surprise in that he committed as early as he did. But more importantly, it's not that he just committed early, it's that he committed to Arizona State. So now ASU gets a chance to have him recruit for them for the next 8-9 months. You know, he'll be at St. Bernard now, after playing at Calabasas, where his former high school coach at Calabasas is now Arizona State linebackers coach Chris Claiborne. So he's played at a high level of football in his high school career. He was a former teammate of Johnny Wilson. He's got teammates that are headed to Arizona State at St. Bernard's now. So there's a player that is part of a loaded St. Bernard group, is going to be wearing ASU gear to practice, going to be wearing ASU gear to school and being able to recruit for them. So that's big, not just on what kind of talent he brings to the table, but what kind of ability he brings to recruit. Then you throw in Jalen Marshall, and it's continuing to show that Arizona State has the ability to recruit nationally and go get guys out of the Southeast, go get guys out of the Midwest, wherever it is that they decide to recruit. They've got a star-studded defensive staff and a really good offensive staff as well that can go into the state like Florida and get a top 25 player at his position and bring him out to the West Coast. I think ASU is really hitting their stride in recruiting more so than ever with the two early commits from Turner Gooden and Jalen Marshall.
Jed Fish making quick work of his recruiting efforts, trying to build pipelines. Locally, we've seen it a lot of offers here in state, trying to keep guys in state. They have three commits as well. You mentioned Grayson Stovall. What do you think of the effort that Coach Fish and his staff are doing here early on?
I love the effort. I mean, it's something that was basically non-existent, really, the entire Sumlin era and probably the last few years of the Rich Rodriguez era. And I think what probably was the most noticeable was that Arizona drew attention to it before they started making the recruits. They were basically advertising on social media, hey, local in-state kids, be ready. We're going to have a blitz coming. And it basically made those kids that were getting the offers. Now, does it maybe backfire and turn off the kids who didn't get an offer? Possibly, but if they're not guys that you didn't want to offer early on, they may not necessarily be players you want to offer down the line. But what it did do is it made it look to those in-state kids and it made it look to the kids from the West Coast like I'm a high priority by Arizona. And bringing in some of the assistant coaches that he did, guys like Jimmy Doherty from UCLA, guys like Kevin Cummings out of San Jose State, guys that have West Coast ties, that gets Arizona back to where they need to be recruiting. I know that they've had a history of recruiting in Texas. I know that they've had ties down to Texas. But to me, the Pac-12 schools need to recruit the West Coast first and foremost. It's bad enough that the rest of the country is coming out west and taking players. But if you're not putting any effort in the Pac-12, then don't expect or don't be surprised if you get burned. Jed Fish has made it a point off the bat to really focus in-state and in California Two of their three commitments come from California, one from one of the top players in Stockton, one of the top players in Northern California, period, Jonah Coleman, who's the number two all-purpose back nationally. And then they also got Takario Davis out of Millikan High School in Long Beach. He's got teammates that are headed to the Pac-12. Yes, Millikan's always been overshadowed by Long Beach Poly, but there's some good players there at Millikan, and there's going to be some good players these next 2 years. And they've done a great job in recruiting Takario Davis. Dwayne Walker, another guy who has long West Coast ties, really did a good job there at Takario Davis. So I think Arizona fans will the days of moping and sulking because of a Kevin Sumlin 0-for class, those days are done. Jed Fish is bringing the energy, and he's commanding his assistants to bring that same energy to recruiting.
Brandon Huffman, there's a reason I call you the best in the business. Appreciate all the insight, both within Arizona and in the Pac-12. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, Jed. Appreciate it.
Well, ASU fans will know this familiar face, Brandon McGee, two-sport athlete for the Sun Devils on the football field and the baseball field, making plays for Todd Graham's defense. And now he is making moves in Hollywood. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So take us through. What's the last couple of months been like for you? You're out in Los Angeles, you know, making moves and getting projects done.
Well, the last couple of months has been flat out insanity. Okay. Like after the announcement, I have not had a normal day since December 1st when it was announced. It's been boom, 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 schedule every single day. And with that schedule, it's exciting. I love it. I'm thriving in it. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in any career, period, right now in Hollywood. It's that much fun. So, yeah.
That's awesome to hear. And this project that was approved on December 1st, Red Zone. Take us through what is Red Zone?
Well, Red Zone is spelled R-E-D-D and then zone. And Red is my best friend, Dominic Red, who was murdered when I was 15 years old. So the movie is dedicated to him. And it's going to show really that whole high school story about me, my mom, some guys that you guys already know from Arizona State. And that's where that title came from.
Mm-hmm. And the role of your mother being played by Jada Pinkett Smith.
Huge.
Absolutely huge. What does it mean to you that you can have these heavy hitters in Hollywood wanting to be a part of this project that is so near and dear to your heart?
So it means multiple things, but I think the biggest thing I would like people to understand is when I started in Hollywood, I knew nobody. I was an athlete. That athlete card got me nowhere in Hollywood, okay? So to see that somebody can go into a new work field, teach himself the business, partner up with people, and then get to the top people you possibly can in Hollywood should be inspiring to tell other people to get up and stop complaining and go after what they want to achieve in life. Now, to the other flip side, having Westbrook and Jada Pinkett Smith playing my mom is an absolute honor. These people are champions. They're great human beings. I love talking to them. They're great creators. And it's just such an honor and a blessing to be working with them.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a story very important to you. This shaped who you are and so many also. Why was it important to tell this story to the world?
Well, the simple fact is, back to the beginning and who was named after, Dominic Red passed away when he was 15 years old. He changed my life forever. Everything y'all seen me do on that field, in the weight room, in the media, giving back to community, the type of person I am, is because of him. And he had that same impact on other guys that live at the house and live outside the house in the community. So it's a given. I was put here on earth to tell my friend's story. That's how seriously I take this project, to the fact that I literally would lock myself in my house to figure it out, because it was that important that they need to see. And I wish I could tell you a story, but I can't. But they need to see what happens and the impact you can have at somebody at such a young age. And then what happens when people come together with one common goal? That's why the story needs to be told.
What would Dominic think of this project?
Oh, he's hyped. Talk to him all the time. He guided me through the whole process. The whole process. And I would say the highlight of this whole project so far was being able to tell his parents that it got sold to Netflix. And it's Jerome Redd is his dad and Lisa Allen his mom. And just think about it, guys. A 15-year-old, now being 30, a 15-year-old had such a huge impact on other people that he had now has a movie coming out, okay? How good of parenting do you think they had to do with 15 years of life? His parents are, I don't even know what to say. His parents are so special. It means so much to me that I would literally wake up to a text from his dad and say, hey, keep going, I'm proud of you. His mom, keep going, I'm proud of you. There's nothing that means more to me than that. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Now, at one time in your house, your mom had, was it 17?
Yes.
Boys in there?
Yep. There was actually more, but we had to limit the number. Yeah.
What was that experience like? You know, and the fact she was able to take on all of that, and so many of you guys have been able to go on and be very successful.
I would say it was a roller coaster ride. It was a highlight of my life. That if so, if God said, "All right, you got to go back and relive something," I'd go back and live with all my friends again. Because all of my friends encouraged me and they still encourage me. So, man, those guys mean so much to me and my mom and everybody. And I wish I could tell you more stories about what happens in the house, but you got to watch the film to do it. But yeah, even telling them the news. I got to tell all my friends that news. You can only imagine how happy I was and how happy D-Red is and my mom and Dominic's parents. It was a blessing.
What was your mom's reaction?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, she was really excited. I think she would get excited for moments, but once I told her, 2 years ago, I said, I'm going to do this movie. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to work it. So everything that's happening, I called out. I predicted it 2 years ago. And I do that a lot with my life. So after I predict something, it always happens. So she already knew it was going to happen. And I promised Dominic's parents, I promised the bros, let me roll with it. It will happen. And I was guided by the grace of God and Dominic Redd to get it done. So she was excited, but she also knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
What was her reaction knowing that she would be played by Jada Pinkett Smith?
It took a couple of days for that to sink in, to be quite honest with you. She was really excited about that. And there, again, I'll say it again. There is no actress that can play my mom, Miss Tia, better than Jada Pinkett Smith can. I can guarantee that right now.
You've had to have a lot of discipline on the football field, on the baseball field. What lessons, what skill sets did you take from the athletic side of things to get this project done and start thriving in Hollywood?
Everything. I would say the biggest lesson is this. My motor doesn't stop. That's the difference. People might have a dream or a goal or might say I'm going to do this or that. But when I say something, I literally do it. And I do it to a point of insanity. In Hollywood and on the playing field, I see my competition. You get to see your teammates working out. So you kind of know how to gauge how to lift more and work more than your athlete, friends, and peers. In Hollywood, producers and writers, they're unseen. Nobody knows how hard they're working. So if you thought I worked hard when I could see them, I'm working even harder by guessing that they're working harder than me. So I'm always leveling up. Every single day, I'm out there doing something to improve my life. I will never be caught. There's nothing that can stop me and no one. It's a wrap. It's about to be scary time out here. There's nothing that can stop me.
Well, I don't know if we can finish on a better note than that, Brandon. Congratulations. Very happy for you. I can't wait to see the project. And also, I think for those of us that covered you back in Tempe, this is no surprise.
Thanks, man. It's a pleasure and honor being on this show.